moment. My message this morning is how to have a blessed Christmas day, a blessed Christmas season. And it's important for us to choose Christ during this Christmas season. I wrote down some thoughts on how we can have a wonderful Christmas time. First of all, we need to study the scriptures related to the incarnation. The incarnation is God becoming a man and coming to us. Also teach the principles of Christmas to your family, to your children. Express the Christmas story to your extended family. Christmas time is a wonderful opportunity to share what Christmas is all about, the meaning of Christmas, and you can take the Christmas season and talk to your extended family about what Christmas is all about. Fellowship with someone that you don't know and take some time and learn their story. Avoid materialism and debt. Witness to relatives. Look for opportunities to be a blessing to people during this Christmas time, and also take some time and develop Christmas memories. Reading the Christmas story, spending time with your family, and meditate on the sacrifice, the greatest story ever told about the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said this: "Dear Lord, we're here at Christmas time to honor your sacred birth. Dear Savior, thank you for bringing all your precious gift to earth. As we delight in this holiday with its bright and special pleasure, we pray to remember all year round that you are the only true treasure." And Christmas is about Christ, and he is the reason why we celebrate this time of year. When we consider Christmas, we also think about the idea of giving. And I would assume that that is why we have the tradition of giving gifts to each other or to give in general. It's because Christmas time, we think about the meaning of Christmas, it's about giving. It's about God giving his son to us so that we could have eternal life, that God came to us. When we were yet sinners, he came to us. He loved us. He showed us his compassion. He showed us his love. And he was thinking of humanity. He was thinking of you. He was thinking of me. God came to us to save us, to give us eternal life. And as Christians, we look to God in everything. We have a biblical view, or we ought to have a biblical focus, a biblical view. And so many times Christians can be so busy over the holiday season, making the meals and visiting and buying the gifts and all those things that, it's easy for us to not put the focus where the focus ought to be. And that is on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to make sure that he is number one, that he is the reason for the season, and that our focus is on him. And that is the reason why you are here, is because you understand that, even though the weather outside is frightful. But I'm glad that the spirit in here is delightful, and it's a wonderful blessing to be able to worship the Lord together. There are a lot of things about the Christmas nativity that we don't know. We really don't know if Jesus was born on December the 25th. We really don't know that. We don't know the kind of stable that the Lord was born in. Many in Bible days were just basically caves where the cattle was stored. We don't know how many wise men there were. We know that there were three gifts offered, but there could have been a lot of gold, a lot of frankincense, a lot of myrrh. There could have been a lot that was seeking the Lord. We know that he was 2 or 3 years old, that Jesus was 2 or 3 years old when the wise men came. But there's a lot of things about the Christmas nativity that we don't know. And those who are skeptical, they'll focus on what we don't know about the Christmas season. But there are a lot of things that we know. We know that Jesus came. Amen. We know that he came. We know that God became a man. And he was 100% man and 100% God. And we know that by Jesus coming to this earth and God becoming a man, that he would not rob the Godhead of its glory. The Bible teaches us that God became associated with sinful man. And the scriptures teach us that God came to us because he showed us compassion and showed us love. And that's the wonderful message of Christmas, is that that manger is a picture of God humbling himself and coming to us to die for our sins. And it truly is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And I'm glad that you're here this morning. I'm going to do something that may go terribly wrong. But I want all the boys and girls that are here this morning to come to the front. We're going to sing Away in the Manger. I want them to sing Away in the Manger, all right? So if you're, boys and girls, if you're bold enough to do this, I really appreciate it. Come on up right here. Stand right here. All the boys and girls, come on up. Don't be shy. Come on up. Make your way up. Come on. Right here. Stand up here. We want everyone to see you. It's a fine group of young people right here. Look at this. There you go. You guys know Away in the Manger? That's good. Because we're going to sing it. It helps if you know it. All right, sing it nice and loud now. Away in the Manger. Next verse now, the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, all right? Sing with them now on that last verse. It's be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee this day, close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. All right, let's sing it with them. Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay close by. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Away in the Manger. And that is what Luke chapter 2 is all about. All right, we're going to read together Luke chapter 2 one more time. Luke chapter 2. And this time we'll begin in verse number 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says this, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to come together. And I pray, Lord, for everyone that's involved in the service here this morning, your blessing upon them. We're grateful, Lord, that we can meditate and worship you. We're grateful, Lord, that we can come together and consider that first Christmas and all that it represents. So, Lord, I pray your blessing upon our time together. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As an angel comes to these shepherds in the field, they're watching their sheep. They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're faithful in their task. These lowly shepherds, as Bible commentaries will tell us, that they were indeed outcasts of society. They were ceremonially unclean because they could not go to the temple as other Jews could. And yet it was a picture of the very grace of God, that shepherds weren't even allowed to be a witness in court because they were shunned in society. And yet God used these shepherds in the mighty way to proclaim the very birth of a king. And yet, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we think about the greatest Christmas ever. And if we're going to have a blessed Christmas day or a blessed Christmas, then I think it's important for us to go to the very first Christmas ever and to see what happened at this Christmas and apply those principles to our life. And so I won't be long this morning, but I want to give you some thoughts. Number one, I think to have a blessed Christmas, then we must have a Christmas that's saturated in worship. We must have a Christmas that's saturated in worship. The Bible says in verse number 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly there were with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know, for Christians, Christmas ought to happen in our heart every day. We ought to take time and take the opportunities that God gives to us to worship Him. And really, Christmas and the season of Christmas is just another opportunity to give God glory, to give God honor, and to give God praise. You know, many times people are so busy, Christians are so busy, that they don't have time to worship the Lord. And when we talk about worshiping the Lord, we are showing Him worth. And listen, friends, He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our worship. We are showing to Him worth. That small child in Bethlehem is God, and God came to us. Someone said, Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without Him, I would fall. When I am sad, to Him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, He makes me glad. He's my friend. How can we worship the Lord on a practical side? Well, I think we can sing songs that bring glory to God. What a blessing it is to see the boys and girls singing about the birth of the Lord Jesus. And we can take time and we can sing songs that bring glory to God. I think in a practical side, we can worship the Lord by being obedient to Him. I think it's important for us to take time during this Christmas time and to think about the present truth that God is teaching us and obey that truth for our life. You know, worship is not always easy. I think of the story of Abraham. He took his son Isaac to Mount Moriah, and he told his servant that him and the lad would return soon. They were going to worship the Lord. And Abraham was going to take the life of his son to offer it to God as a sacrifice. Worship is not always easy, but it's always right. And as we show God worth, obedience, and making good decisions that honor the Lord is a part of that worship. Making sure our family knows that Christmas is not about gifts or presents, but it's about God's presence, that He is with us. The Bible says this in Psalm 62, verse 1, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. He in God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, prolongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work." Notice in that psalm, the worship of God. Wait on God. Hope in God, verse 5. He is our expectation. He is our defense, verse 6. We will trust in him. We won't trust in vanity. We won't trust in riches. We won't trust in popularity. No, we will trust in God, for we belong to him. And the first Christmas morning was a morning that was saturated in worship because they knew this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want us to see, secondly, if we're going to have a blessed Christmas, then it must be a Christmas submitting to God. Not only a Christmas saturated in worship, but it must be a Christmas submitting to God. The Bible says in verse 15, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." I'd mentioned last Sunday that Bethlehem was not where a king should be born or would be born. Jerusalem is where a king should be born. And yet it was at lowly Bethlehem that this proclamation was made, that they would find a king, and this king would be displayed in humility. He would be in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. It was what the prophet Micah had declared in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." And the Christmas story teaches us one important truth, that God's way is not our way, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. If we were to arrange the birth of a king, we would think differently. But this is the work of God. And we find here in this passage of Scripture that truth was revealed, that God had made known unto the shepherds. And today, the reality is we don't have shepherds heralding in the night, but we do have a more sure word of prophecy. I'm glad that we have in our hands the word of God that we can use as light in this world. And the word of God declares for us the truths of God that helps us and directs us and guides us in our life. And we notice in the Christmas story this prophetic truth that God uses the unexpected, and God's birth was heralded in humility. And yet here these shepherds, they reacted in faith and they believed God. And the same is true for us today, that we are to believe the Bible by faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For first we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so we see truth is revealed, but also we see truth is received. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. As God revealed to these shepherds the truth, they found exactly what God had said. And as you believe the Bible by faith, and as you trust God and trust His word, I'm here to tell you that you will find exactly what God says. Lying in a field at night, suddenly there came a light. Fearful in their hearts were them. The Lord is born in Bethlehem, where there they found, as told in tale, the Son of God, so small and frail. Each shepherd glad that they came, the news of Jesus is still the same. The reality is by faith. And if we want to have a great Christmas, we need to understand truth is revealed and truth must be received. But also, I love this, we see truth is rehearsed in verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying, which was told them concerning this child. I can imagine this incredible conversation as these shepherds come in and they begin to worship that baby, and they tell Mary and Joseph, hey, listen, angels came to us and told us that this was the birth of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And Mary said, you'll never believe this, but angels came to us and said the same thing, and they rejoiced that God had kept His word. And the Bible says that they made known abroad. They made known abroad what was revealed unto them. You know, Christmas is the great story of Jesus. But we must not keep this story to ourselves. We must declare and rehearse to the world the great hope that we have in our hearts. How do we have a blessed Christmas? Well, I think it's a Christmas that's saturated in worship. I think it's a Christmas that's submitting to God by faith, trusting His word, and living by faith. But I think if we're going to have a great Christmas, it's going to be a Christmas pondering the Savior. And the Bible says in verse number 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. In the Old Testament, that word ponder, it means to roll out. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26, the Bible says, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. In Proverbs 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. The thought there in the Hebrew is to roll out your life and to consider the pathway you're taking. And that's a great reminder for us as we come to the end of another year to ponder the path of our feet. Because every direction has a destination. And if you're just slightly moving away from the Lord, by the end of the year, you'll be very far from the Lord. And so ponder the path of your feet. In the New Testament, in Luke chapter 2, The Greek word here for ponder means to combine. It means to throw together. The thought here to ponder is to put one thing with another in considering the circumstances. And it really does help us to understand what's happening in the mind of Mary, because all these events are taking place, from the angel coming to her, from the angel coming to Joseph, to the shepherds arriving, to the travel, to the taxation. All of these things, she's putting them together in her mind, and she's thinking about all that God is doing. So what was Mary pondering? Well, I think she was pondering the child. I want us to turn to Luke chapter 1, just a page back, and notice what the Bible says in verse 26. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. The Bible says this, verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be, or what manner of welcome the angel had for her, why the angel was there. And the angel said, verse 30, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. God is showing grace to you. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Bible says this child would be God's son, and it would be a miraculous birth. The songwriter said, Mary, did you know? And the answer is, yes, she did, because the angel told her that this child would be born in a miraculous way. This child would be God's son, and he would save his people from their sins. He would be holy. He would be perfect. He would be the sacrifice for sin. The all-powerful, all-knowing, sovereign God would come to man. I don't think she was only pondering the child. I think she was also pondering the crisis. The Bible says in verse 1 of Luke chapter 2 that it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. The whole world, the known world, was in this state of crisis because everyone was returning to their birthplace for this census, for this taxation. And God was rearranging the entire world so that Mary and Joseph would be in Bethlehem. So the child would be born in Bethlehem just as he prophesied. And friend, I want to tell you that when he comes again, he's going to rearrange the world again for his second coming. This was a miraculous taxation. Government thinks that they're in charge, but I'll tell you, friends, God is in charge. And this taxation was used by God to fulfill his plan for the birth of the Messiah, and the taxation forced Joseph to Bethlehem, and everyone had to return to their city of birth, and this taxation led to the fulfillment of Scripture. Despite humanity's plans, Mary was about to deliver. The Bible says she was great with child. The thought there, great, means swelling. It means at any moment Jesus would be born. And the Bible teaches us that the child was born exactly how God said it would, in Bethlehem. And Mary's pondering these things in her heart. I think she's pondering in her heart the care of the shepherds. Here comes these shepherds, the outcasts of society. And they enter into the Christmas story and they're bowing down to the Savior. Jesus is born as angels had proclaimed to them the birth of a king, and they have come to worship him. And Mary was putting all of this together, combining it all in her heart. I think she was pondering the character of the child. Here in the manger is this perfect baby. An absolute mother's dream. The small child lies wonderfully placed in the manger, and as the song says, no crying he makes. And I don't know, friend, how much crying is involved in the Adamic nature. I don't know a baby crying, how it's related to sin, but I know this, that small child in the manger, Jesus would not sin. And this child was perfect in every way, God's perfect sacrifice. And Mary, no doubt, would see the difference. And can you imagine Mary would have children later? Can you imagine her saying to James, James, why can't you act like your brother? And yet Mary has all of these events in her heart. She's putting them all together. God's revealing to her the wonder of this child. And all of these things, I believe, as Jesus is growing up, all of these things are just concealed in Mary's heart, and she wants to tell someone. The Bible says in John chapter 2 and verse 1, on the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, which would be a very respectful response for Jesus in this particular day, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour has not come. And what Jesus is saying is, listen, when I begin a public ministry, the events leading to my death are going to happen rapidly. And his mother saith unto the servants, and this is the greatest advice you could ever give anyone, whatever he saith unto you, do it. The Bible says there were 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear it unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew. And the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, than that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine unto now. And the beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Mary came to Jesus and said, I know who you are. I know you can make a difference. Mary pondered all of these things in her heart. And if we're going to have a blessed Christmas, then take some time during this Christmas season to maybe sit down on your favorite chair and get some coffee or tea and just ponder in your heart what Christmas is all about. Ponder in your heart the greatest story ever told. Ponder in your heart the greatest gift that you ever received was the gift of salvation, that God came to you. Mary had a little lamb who lived before his birth, the self-existent Son of God from heaven. He came to earth. Mary had a little lamb, see him in yonder stall, virgin-born Son of God to save man from the fall. Mary had a little lamb, the obedient Son of God. And everywhere the Father led, his feet were sure to trod. Mary had a little lamb crucified on the tree. The rejected Son of God, he died to set men free. Mary had a little lamb. Men placed him in the grave. Thinking they were done with him, to death he was no slave. Mary had a little lamb ascended, now is he. All work on earth is ended, our advocate to be. Mary had a little lamb, mystery to behold. From the Lamb of Calvary, a lion will unfold. When the day star comes again, of this be very sure. It won't be lamb-like silence, but with the lion's roar. In December 1903, after many attempts, the Wright brothers were successful in getting their, what they called, flying machine off the ground. They were thrilled with this experience, and they telegraphed this message to their sister, Catherine. They said, we actually flown 120 feet, and we will be home for Christmas. Catherine hurried to the editor of the local newspaper and showed him the message, and he glanced at it and said, "Oh, how nice. The boys will be home for Christmas." But they had totally missed the biggest news of all, that man had flown. And if you're not careful this Christmas season, you can miss the greatest story ever told. You can miss what Christmas is all about. The big news of Christmas is that God came to us and that he loves us. He sent his Son so that we could have eternal life. And so, friend, listen, if you want to have a blessed Christmas, worship him, submit to him, and ponder what it all means for your life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done. We're grateful for this.